In a video released this week, Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren backed up her long-contested claim that she has Native American ancestry, with results from a DNA test and a telling of her family's story.
My mother was born in eastern Oklahoma. It had been Indian territory until just a few years earlier when it had become a state. My daddy always said he fell head over heels in love with my mother the first time he saw her. But my daddy's parents, the Herrings, were bitterly opposed to their marrying because my mother's family, the Reeds, was part Native American.
President Trump has long taunted Warren's claims of Native ancestry and even nicknamed her Pocahontas. The accusations surrounding Warren's ancestry date back to 2012, when her Republican challenger for the Senate, Scott Brown, accused Warren of using her Native American heritage to advance her career. Graham Lee Brewer is a contributing editor for Tribal Affairs at High Country News and a member of the Cherokee Nation. Hi, Graham.
Hi.
What was your reaction to Elizabeth Warren's decision to take this test and put out this video?
I thought it was very interesting. I want to be very clear. I'm not here to discredit her story or the common knowledge of her family that she's been passed down. I was more concerned about the way it was talked about and I think the method. This conversation with Elizabeth Warren and also President Trump has been very problematic from the beginning. And I think using a DNA test to validate that history was probably the wrong approach.
It's interesting there because you don't want to criticize, I guess, her intentions for doing this, but then it was actually what she did, right? The method, the way that it was done. Was the issue a DNA test itself? Was it that it was covered by the media inappropriately?
I think it's all of the above. When we're covering Indian country, when we're covering tribal communities, we have to take not just a look at the language we use, but the way we talk about them. The problem I had with Senator Warren's approach was that it kind of fosters a narrative that is damaging to Native people. To give you a little bit of context, I have a very similar story to Senator Warren. I am not much darker than she is outwardly. The place where that video is shot is probably just a couple miles from my home. I live in Norman, Oklahoma. That's where I'm talking to you from now. And so I don't fault her for wanting to know more about her history. In fact, I would encourage her to do so. But I think when you invite people to talk about the degree of your blood quantum, which is the degree of your Indian blood, which is something that is documented by the government, in my case, certainly, you're opening up to conversations that feed into stereotypes and myths about Native people. Blood quantum is a very thorny subject. It's an institution of colonialism. It was something that was put in place to essentially weed out our levels of Native blood. So by putting a stop on the degree to which you're allowed to join your tribe, which is a choice that tribes are able to make as they are sovereign nations, then it makes it less likely that your children will be able to be tribal members if they don't have the same amount of Indian blood as you do. My tribe, for instance, the Cherokee Nation, we don't have a blood quantum. So as long as you can prove lineage, you are a member. To say that someone who is 1/8 has more of a say or is more Native than someone who is 1/32, for instance, I think is wrong. We're not just talking about a racial distinction here. We're talking about a political distinction. This is a citizenship question. I am a citizen of a sovereign nation as well as being a descendant of an indigenous person.
Can you help us understand a little bit more when you talk about blood quantum? What does that mean in the Native American community?
So when the government put many of us on the Trail of Tears, my great-great-great-grandfather, for instance, they wrote his name down, where he was from, and where he was headed to. That record still stands, and it makes it easier to trace my lineage back to my Cherokee roots. That way, I can show the nation that I am a descendant of this person, I am a member of this nation, and I can be enrolled as such. Now, some tribes have blood quantum in place. My son, for instance, is also part Kiowa. The Kiowa Nation of Oklahoma, you have to be 1/4. Kiowa to join. The Navajo Nation is similar. But when it comes to DNA tests, I think we need to keep in mind that a DNA test doesn't prove that you are Native American. There is no DNA test to say definitively you are an indigenous person. when it comes to tribal issues, DNA tests are used to show who your parents are, to show that lineage, to show that you are a descendant of this person. It's not a test that you can take to say, yes, I am Kiowa, or I am Cherokee, or I am Navajo.
I'm wondering, in terms of the media coverage of this, did you feel like Native perspectives were being included in the reaction to Senator Warren's decision to release this video?
I felt like there was a lot of attention given to Senator Warren and how she feels about Trump's rhetoric towards her, which I will agree is not okay. It's not acceptable the way President Trump speaks to her about race. But I felt there was more emphasis on how Senator Warren was affected by it rather than how her response affects indigenous people. I think her response helps foster this narrative that, like I said, her blood quantum is important, or that a DNA test can prove that you're indigenous. Neither one of those things are true. In reactions I have seen from indigenous scholars, writers, and just regular tribal members off the street is mostly one of anger. They're not happy with the way that this has shaped the public discussion. They don't feel like Senator Warren has made efforts to understand them or their perspective. And they feel, again, like their own narrative is being perverted in the public eye. I think we need to keep in mind that when we're talking about indigenous communities, we're talking about some of the most isolated communities in the country. And I don't just mean physically. Yes, some of those communities are isolated physically, but there is an invisibility problem with Indian country. Non-Native people, by and large, don't understand Indian country. They don't understand sovereignty. They don't understand tribal membership. And they don't understand, like I was saying, that this is a citizenship question as well as a racial distinction. I think all of those things together just compound the problem of misperception and stereotype that permeates popular culture when it comes to Native American people.
Graham Lee Brewer is a reporter with the High Country News and a member of the Cherokee Nation. Graham, thanks so much for your insights.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.